Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhism Butterflies. We're heading into round four, and we're working with transforming fear into its healthy role, which is that of practical action. So I'm going to invite you to get comfy cozy, make any adjustments, settling on in. And as you do so, invitation to connect to your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to really drink it in. And then we invite you on purpose to locate something again that's pleasant and neutral. That might be in your external environment or your internal environment. So feel free to keep eyes open or closed, whatever suits you best, and take a moment to scan that environment. And as you scan, letting all your five, six senses go for a little bit of a walk. And as they do, the invitation is to let them land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. Landing on anything that's pleasant to neutral. And then noticing what it is you like the most about whatever that is that you've landed upon. And drinking in its beauty, whether that be the shape, the color, the size, the way the light, the shadows play with it, the space that defines, or that defines it. Or potentially what it reminds you of. As you continue to notice all those things, the invitation is to savor them, mindfully appreciating them, almost like that piece of really fine chocolate. And as you continue to savor and drink in all this nourishment, all this beauty, in all these ways, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for the opportunity to be here with my friends. We ask that you hold this space safe and sacred, nourishing us, guiding us, protecting us as we explore an adventure and journey today. We call on all of our compassionate helpers, both seen and unseen, to gather here with us. We give deep, deep reverence and thanks to this earth below us, the sky above, the air that it occupies running through our lungs, reminding us what it is to have space on the inside out, the waters that purify, and the fire connecting us to source, whatever our word for that may be. We give deep thanks to those that have caretaken these lands and have stewarded this earth in good ways that have allowed our very existence to be here. And for all of those that have come before us and for those yet to arrive, thank you. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection today. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. Interestingly enough, we're starting off with cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. We're going into the family lines, we're going into Dan's side, and we're going back. It's actually going to be a range. Everyone's going to be just a little bit different. 6 to 9 generations. Going back 6 to 9 generations, particularly on the emotional frequency. And it's actually that of anxiety. Okay, we're actually looking at where basically fear was being used in ways that weren't in alignment with giving rise to practical action and survival and safety. But when it began to basically ruminate and began to the image I have is like a tornado. So the word I wanted to use here is like swirl. And when that type of anxiety that actually wasn't purposeful, essentially it had no place to go, it became internalized. Got it. Okay, and it unnecessarily fed the sense of separation, whether that was between you and another being, you and this earth, you and this world, you and life itself, you and source. And the word separation, I don't think we've touched it on this for a while, is synonymous with fear. So anytime there's a sense of a divide, it can give rise to a sense of fear. And to an extent, some of that is not necessarily a bad thing. It's part of the human dynamic and human system and is meant to have its own evolutionary purpose. We're working with the parts that actually weren't supporting, that weren't healthy, that didn't actually support overall the underlying energy field of what fear is meant to offer us. Paradox. It's always tricky speaking about some of these things because that whole process itself where we get a bit confused about it all and then we come to consciousness is actually a part of it all too. So in essence, this is just working with the extra twisty, heavy baggage that wasn't necessarily supportive of even that like twisty, turny rise to awareness or consciousness that's meant to be a part of the human experience and journey, as evidenced by birth itself. There's a sense of separation, we swirl, we turn, can feel like a bit of a tornado in its own way. And it also reminds me of that quote by Carl Jung. I'm going to paraphrase it, but it goes something to the effect of there's no coming to consciousness without pain. And in our world, we often forget that part of it all. And this is actually, as I'm talking about it, showing the next sort of understanding that it's linking into, which is that our modern day world often wishes to dismiss pain, and we regard its signals as something wrong that should be shut down, that should be attended to, versus actually turned towards and felt and learned from and honored in its wisdom. There's pain here for a reason. And there's a certain maturity that evolves within that. However, anxiety might be the I can't figure out how to get rid of this pain that I'm actually supposed to be having in the first place. So it becomes self-fulfilling, which creates a whole new level of confusion, which again is fairly rife in our modern day world. Okay, so as we work with all of that, with cell repair, it's linking into the kidney meridian as well that runs through our ancestral line. And it's also impacting the sense of sight and the vision that you hold in particular for yourself, the vision that you hold in this world. It's just creating unnecessary, again, anxiety around how it is you wish for that to happen, how it is you wish to implement that, how it is you wish to live into that, embody that, explore that. And interestingly enough, this is all linking into another cell repair. This is from this lifetime. And it's going into, hear me out on this, manifestation used as control to avoid suffering, to avoid pain that actually needs to be felt in order for you to come to the natural evolution of consciousness within yourself. Which isn't necessarily higher. I almost slipped and said that wording because it's common vernacular. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's lower. It's just a different standpoint from which to come from. If we keep pandering to the hierarchy of things, it tends to get in the way of discovering things. Well, it feeds relative ideologies versus helping us to come to the awareness or the understanding on a deeper spiritual level that transcends into the non-relative level. Okay, backing up a little bit as we explore this cell repair acquired in this lifetime and around manifestation and this idea that, like, as long as I can figure out how to get that next thing to make me happy, then I won't have to feel the feelings that are actually necessary for me to feel. In essence. So, put a different way, using manifestation as an avoidance. And it's impacting primarily the nervous system, and it's leading as well or feeding into a tendency to over-intellectualize or over-analyze versus feel what's here. So, it's feeding a pattern of, shall we say, questionable functionality? One that has indeed kept you safe and has a really good reason for evolving to the point that it does and has. And it may actually be necessary to update the system around some of this, which is what I mean by questionable functionality. As we update the system, bringing all the parts of you on board, up to date. We're working with, in particular, a link into the nervous system in the space between the nerve cells, the synaptic gap or the synaptic cleft. And here we're working with the consciousness of panic, the type of panic that leads to, like, grasping or wanting to cling for dear life type of panic. It's the type of panic where, like, imagine that you're, like, falling down and you're trying desperately to, like, to hang on to something on the way down. And it's actually linking into age 3. We're just simply running the permissions for this 3-year-old that it's okay to be scared. As we welcome their fear, it actually begins to help them transcend the fact that they should be afraid of their own fear, which just creates another level of anxiety. It just expounds exponentially. And as we honor the feeling that's here, it actually teaches that 3-year-old how to feel their feeling and not necessarily be overwhelmed by their feeling, which quite frankly is something the vast, vast majority of us as adults are still in that dynamic. So as we help this 3-year-old internally in you, we begin to work with the conscious reparenting of yourself. So I invite you to turn to, if you are open to it, an imaginary 3-year-old inside of you and welcoming them to be as scared as they wish to be, whatever that looks like in this moment. And as we support their welcoming, it's almost like it sets the stage for you to be able to welcome other children, not just yours internally, but there might be more of you internally, but also like the children that are in the adults that you work with or that you meet. It might actually be your own children itself, themselves. And it could also extend out to including, like I was saying, the children that are in all of us. We all walk around with a full cast of kiddos that have unattended needs, where there's been developmental disruptions. As we are able to sit with our own, it creates the compassion, the empathy, the capacity to sit with others. And this might just be straight up welcoming, like I was saying as well, your children at whatever ages they are, whether they're young or adults. And your children, even if they're adults, also have their own cast of children inside of them. So it seems like a small thing, yet this is a pattern that we're addressing at a very root place. And as we supportively address it at the seed level, it begins to actually grow something different. So again, letting that 3-year-old know it's okay to be scared. Sometimes I am too. Might even follow that. And if that 3-year-old is there with you now, and it feels right, you may even turn towards them offering comfort through the form of touch and any additional words that feel right for the two of you to share. As that happens, we're running hydration through the spinal canal all the way up to the very center of the crown. And its chakra. And with this, we're running a full spinal balancing, balancing each vertebrae with its partner. And we classically do that opposite sides, like upper left with bottom right, upper right with bottom left. And we're going to do that alongside of same-sidedness to address those parts of your nervous system that were online before that crossover existed. So upper left with bottom left, upper right with bottom right. We're doing that for like cervical one at the very base of the neck. Pardon me. Base of the skull to lumbar 5, base of spine. And then we're going to move in a vertebrae cervical 2, lumbar 4, etc., all the way until we get to the middle thoracics, which are roughly at the base of the heart. And think of this as setting the stage for your heart to rest, for your heart to receive. Almost like a little hammock, a place to rest, a place to just like gently be able to sit down, take a load off. As the spine becomes centered, it connects in an energetic fashion to allow for the centering of every part of you, heart included, heart in particular. Then thinking now to that 3-year-old one more time, in fact, even just slightly younger, so like what came before this for this 3-year-old in time. And we're just simply supporting them in welcoming not just this feeling, but actually all feelings by running this permission and letting them know all of your feelings are welcome here. All of your feelings are welcome here. And within that, releasing the overwhelm of feeling at its very core. As that happens for this 3-year-old, running one more cell repair, it's cell repair day, my gosh. We're going back into the family lines, this time down the maternal lines through mom's side. Not as far back, 4 generations. It's actually at the mental level, working with particularly that mental kosha. And again, there's a level of anxiety here, but specifically oriented or related to the feeling of I have to figure this out or else I'm dead. And not metaphorically, but like actually feeling that level of my life depends upon this. And then having actually done just that, using the mind to get you out of a tight jam in life and be able to survive, it fed to this idea that the mind was somehow more important than the body. And it led to the mind feeling its own self-importance, self-aggrandization, feeling a false sense of power that actually created its own level of anxiety around trying to figure out what was going wrong when that sense of power wasn't always there, because the mind can't actually do that. But there is a sense of I'm supposed to, stay on top. We're just simply supporting, a gentle letdown for the mind in a good way that actually begins to take the pressure off and to unburden this idea that all of everything, all the chips were riding on it. What a trip. What a mind game. And as we welcome it to actually let down some of those layers of self-importance, we may even offer, a phrase that goes something along these lines. And feel free to fine-tune the wording here. This one's a little bit more wide open on purpose, but something to the effect of, and you'll all be at various stages of this, you're not as important as you think you are, and you actually don't have to work this hard. To you don't have to prove yourself, to just straight up, you're not that important. And at first, that may come across as a bit blunt and shocking. And just continuing it to offer it from a place of loving presence versus any form of like criticism or accusation or judgment or shaming. But offering it with a fullness of that wide open spine and heart that we've landed in. So the mind can also rest here. And as the mind begins to slowly by slowly sipping that in, rests and settle. It supports the entire system in being both grounded, centered, and it allows for that maximal heart flow, heart cocoon, heart radiance to do what it does best, create a field of harmony and a field of union into connection with all things in this world, in this life. Including all of those that seem separate than you, including any other forms of separation between that of you and life, you and this world, you and existence, you and source, whatever your word for spirit, source, creator, God, beauty, mystery, ineffable might be. And related to this, we're actually releasing anxiety off of all five senses. In body talk, we're gonna also in more formal body talk lingo. For those of you who've done mod three, we're also with this running a general consciousness big four to the heart, along with all five senses to individuate in less geeky terms. Helping the senses to land in a harmonious place within the hearts, so not so scattered, looking at and through and hearing at and through and feeling at and through a lens of anxiety. And those behaviors that go with any sort of grasping or clinging are also all-encompassing a desire for deep comfort. There's this longing to not actually feel the way that we're feeling. And underneath that, or within that, really, can set up patterns of cravings, desires. Potentially, even to the point of addictions. And that might be in the neighborhood of cravings, desires, addictions for like food or any other form of comfort. Maybe that happens through gaming. Maybe that happens through substances, alcohol, other things, gambling, whatever it is, workaholism. So we're looking at the foundation changing upon which those desires, cravings, addictions have been, well, founded upon. And that begins to shift the landscape of how it is you're craving, desiring, seeking comfort. As the saying jokingly goes, we look for out there what's actually can only be found in here. And as we begin to reorient the internal, it begins to change the behaviors externally. Might be a record, but it's actually linking into one more cell repair. I briefly paused to question. But indeed, one more cell repair. This one is actually impacting both lines, mom and dad's. We're going back six generations. It's on the emotional frequency of worry, of confusion. And what I'm seeing is the confusion in interrelationships. Like the confusion that arises in between how it is you're relating to another. And the copious misunderstandings, the copious amounts of hurt that arises from those misunderstandings based on assumptions, that person's separate from me, so therefore they might hurt me. So therefore I should defend myself. So therefore, I should have the right to hurt others. And that whole cascade, creating wave after wave after wave of confusion, creating tangled knots, almost like Christmas lights. I don't know about you, but sometimes when those lights get all tangled like that, the only thing to do is to give them just a little bit of time and space. Pushing, pulling harder hasn't ever worked to get them untangled. So just giving them a little bit of space, a little bit of room to slowly, slowly have that one thread that finally becomes visible pulled. And then you can see like that next knot with greater clarity, so you can interweave and unhook that one too. And taking your time to go at the pace of it versus the pace of what you think you should be performing at. And that actually analogy ties into what's here as well. The pressure for relationships or how it is you think it should be unfolding in a certain amount of time. And the pressure that we might inadvertently put because those timelines don't seem to be happening the way that we want them to. Like, how come they're not over that already? They're always talking about that same thing. Or any other areas where other people just haven't quite figured out what it is for themselves. And somehow that might even keep you stuck in thinking you have to wait for them to do that before you can find your own clarity. We're going to begin to slowly pull apart those layers of confusion amongst us all as well. And the primary confusion here, probably no surprise at this point in the session, is just simply that of I should fear you. Meaning we should fear somebody who seemingly looks different, is acting a certain way, is really close to our heart, but somehow is doing that one thing that seems to put everything else in a point of what the hell are you doing, danger. And just releasing this confusion based on this particular belief. I should fear you. Bringing in Mars energy, which has a tendency overall to feed division, but in this case, playfully, ironically perhaps even, using it to strengthen the energy that it takes to overcome your own divisiveness that may have been created within you. And all of us have had this completely inadvertently. It happens through the process of us being raised by other humans and their confusions and their limitations and their unresolved energies around this all. Which leads to, a world that might carry a little bit more confusion within it. And a world that in turn seeks comfort because of it. And the humorous part of my brain wants to interject something quippy about the upcoming, Black Friday madness that we're upcoming. We've probably already been in it for the past 3 weeks. And And looking for comfort by again means of looking outward versus examining this seemingly really simple yet cripplingly foundational belief system. I should fear you. So we're actually going to set up a Sidri on this. It's actually going to continue to run for 4 weeks, which interestingly enough takes us to like Christmas Day. Wow. The Sidri stands for that acronym, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources. Blood that carries our passion. Nerve, our communication. Lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, help us to heal, in particular our nervous and immune systems, but really all of us. And in particular, in this case, healing that synaptic gap or cleft that we were working with earlier. And also working with the balance of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine energies, which work with the deep essences of nourishment and protection. Sometimes we're too protected to receive the nourishment that is here, which is usually the way that goes. Very rarely are we too amidst in our hedonism that we forget to stand guard and be protected enough. Not usually an issue, but potentially talking about it here more theoretically than not. Carry on with that circulation. Also bringing in hydration, helping the cells to take in that water, that joy, and releasing any impurities that no longer need to be here. Then D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here. What remains gets to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. All of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, helping us to get out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. We may think of this as the release, the surrender, letting go. And as that runs for the next 4 weeks, we're also running hydration through the cerebrospinal fluid, which bathes the spine and the brain and the head. I think of the CSF, I haven't spoken about this for a while, being very centered, very much between masculine protection and feminine nourishment. It's like right in that sweet spot. It might be the fluid of us that actually represents union. It's no mistake that that's the one bathing our spine, bathing our brain, reminding us, holding all the answers to what it is to be at complete connection, union, and at ease amongst it all. I might think of this fluid as actually supporting in a sweet way in this particular context, the transcendence of separation. It's actually produced through the midline structure of your third ventricle through an organelle organ called the choroid plexus. And for whatever reason, I have this like image often that goes with it of like a fountain bubbling up, effervescent beauty, and then cascading downwards. This doesn't actually do that physiologically in the body, but it does circulate in a way that kind of feels like that, looks like that. And for all I know, metaphorically, with all the senses and the limitations that we have in our human capacities in those ways, it might actually be this fountain of joy, this fountain of youth, containing effervescence, orgasmic energy, cascading through you, wave after wave, pulsation after pulsation, carrying the foundation for what it is to be in bliss and ecstasy and delight, in samadhi, helping to set the stage for grooming the pathway all the way through to nirvana itself. Samadhi being a state where there's still, although bliss, a sense of mild separation. Nirvana being the fullest transcendence of that. In that space, between bliss of samadhi and the full encompassing energy of nirvana, there may be some deep grief, some deep longing. Even though that sense of disconnect doesn't feel personal, in the samadhi states, there's still a sense of something's not quite connected fully. So close, yet so far, in essence. And as we work with this pathway to transcendence of separation that we all have the wiring for in us, running circulation of nerve supply to just begin to gently, 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 being the key word here, delayer any burdens, baggages that are ready to go through that central channel of your nervous system. Which, by the way, tends to go with potentially feeling more than you have felt before. And as easeful as we can be in feeling this, the more gentle, gentle, gentle this will feel. And ironically, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy when we become scared to feel it. It becomes something that becomes scary to feel. And as we begin to delayer that with all the work that you've done with your little ones, it actually opens up another level of capacity to be more at ease here too. In other words, what if it was safe to be at peace without any need to protect, without any need to have to look for nourishment, but one where you got to just simply be at ease within it all. It's all linking into the 12th house, house of the liver, liver meridian, house of clearing out, karmic toxicity. In this case, working with the understanding that karma, this is a very different understanding potentially that's been portrayed of karma, and I don't know that I have spoken to it a lot, in all honesty here. That karma itself, is actually in the moment. Oh. And I know that flies against a lot of other ways that we have spoken to karma in our energy working communities. And near as I can tell, karma is in the moment itself. And to honestly unpack that would take a bit to speak to. So I'm going to let that just rest within your own being. And keep in mind, you never need to, turn towards anything that doesn't feel true for you. But feel free to inquire, question, contemplate, reflect, and play with that thought. As that happens, it begins to loosen up any rigidities that often go with the other forms of thinking about karma, which often goes hand in hand with the belief, the ideology that punishment is inevitable, that we should be punished, that we will be punished, that we're going to go to hell because we haven't repented, punishment. Or any other forms of you should be afraid because this is going to hurt. And those beliefs about punishment tend to feed the fear of our own feelings. Talk about confusion. Talk about self-fulfilling prophecy. And in these contemplations, reflections, time to consider other points of view of thinking about things, we can begin to disrupt those well-worn pathways that have been inherited, that have been taught, that have been conditioned and reinforced time and time again in our world. To open up your brain, to give it space for this CSF to flow, for your nervous system to rest and settle, for your heart to be at ease, connected to feeling, and for you to just simply be centered in amongst life itself. We're going to times in which that point of punishment was reinforced. Verbally, physically, anywhere in between, and that fear was embedded a little bit deeper. And we're actually linking that to 12th house energy. Because that cycle gets to end. That cycle gets to end with your awareness, with your insight, with your attention, with your loving presence. So, how gentle can we become as we reparent ourselves through these layers of confusion that have been embedded deep, reinforced a multitude of times? How gently can we begin to renavigate and find a way that honors what it is to feel, what it is to just simply be. And allowing all the other layers of confusion to fall down. Almost like that magician's cape that's meant to create illusion. That's meant to. What's the word? But they purposely distract to point you in another direction, away from what the truth of the thing is. Not quite this, but a word that ties in here is glamour. It's no mistake that we have a very shiny world. Full of things that satisfy desirings, cravings, addictions that are very glamorous and even reinforce that this is the way that glamour should look like. In the 70s, the magazines were filled with people smoking to look glamorous. It evolves and changes over time. It looks a little bit different these days than it did then. But every decade, every generation has had its definition of glamour, which is indeed just a pointing to comfort, distraction, away from the truth of what's really here. It's that same way that the magician's cape begins to like fall down to reveal what gets to be here now. It might look magical. It might look like some alchemy has taken place. And in a manner of speaking, it has. And in a manner of speaking, something seemed to have happened. Something seemed to have happened. And what if those senses of yours could actually reorient now to the truth of what's really here? We're actually going to link them into your heart to help them clearly become present from a place of deep, harmonious love. At the same time as all of this, if you can believe it, running one more cell repair. This is also inherited through both sides, going back not that far, four generations. It's at the realm of the physical. And it's impacting in particular your spleen 21 acupuncture points. Or in body talk lingo, your pancreatic reflex point, which helps you to take in the sweetness of this world and feel the fullness of its embrace, and to allow yourself to rest in the arms of the divine. It allows for the deepest integration of the level of the body that can exist. And as the saying goes, the body never lies. The mind rarely tells the truth. So allowing yourself to settle deeply into the body here. And in doing so, one more release of anxiety. Releasing through that pancreatic reflex point. As we optimize this internal pathway, linking it through now to all things hearts, including heart one acupuncture point in the center of the armpit, heart brain, heart chakra, heart organ, heart energy fields, all things hearts. And it's linking into the consciousness of the 10th house quality of recognition. Because potentially this has actually been here all along. There was just too many other lenses of confusion, not allowing it to be clearly recognized for the truth of who and what you really are, and the truth of who and what life really is. And as these layers of division, these cloaks begin to fall, running circulation of lymph, clearing out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, insecurities, overthinking, overanalyzing, again for this pancreatic reflex points. And it's creating this like cleansing upward spiral. As we keep all the three things that we've done for the pancreatic reflex points so far on rotation, it's going to rinse and repeat as need be. For the next 6 weeks, which takes us into the new year, as we've artificially designated our calendar to be. But nonetheless, a concept that holds a lot of meaning for a lot of people. So embracing that understanding of newness and helping us to transcend through the vast majority of this first round, or the first half of round four, pardon me. At the same time as all of this, to help it integrate and land, we're linking the coccyx, your tailbone, through to the sphenoid bone. The coccyx representing earth, the sphenoid in the center of the skull, connecting all the skull bones, representing heaven, which helps us to begin to experience all the words that you might associate with heaven, and those qualities getting to be experienced, getting to be felt here on earth. For as we open up to feeling, we also open up as the feeling center isn't discriminatory, to feeling not just the aches, but also the joys of life. And it creates this capacity for this upward spiral to begin, this turning of the tide to occur. And then we're linking that through all previous 8 generations that came before you, almost washing like a wave of joy, like an ocean wave crashing down, breaking the, dare I say, curse that's held all these layers of confusion in place, and allowing for new awarenesses and new insights to begin to integrate through you, through your ancestors, through your family lines, through your body. We're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. If it feels right to you, calling in on that resource that we touched in on at the very beginning of the session today. I've got a short song, so just under 3 minutes, by Ali Maya, La Medicina del Cielo. I'll copy and paste it into the chat feature. Feel free to rest here. Drinking in the medicine of you. This world, this life.
La medicina del cielo. Ay, 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 ay. La medicina de las estrellas. Ay, 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 ay. La medicina del cielo. Ay, 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 ay. La medicina de las estrellas. Ay.
Calling this medicine in, and thank you for the blessing, the opportunity to work together in these ways. Wishing you a beautiful rest of your day and week ahead, and thank you from the bottom of my heart for bringing all of you exactly as you are here. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Om. Blessings in the rest of your day, y'all. Have yourselves a beautiful time, and you're most welcome. There was an interesting email that was sent out with some wrong dates on there. The dates are fuzzily stated, I'll say it that way. So know that there's some clarity coming shortly around that all. So stay tuned, and when in doubt, please check the webpage for the clarity as well. I will see you all shortly. You're welcome to hang out if anybody would like any additional support. I'm going to stop the recording here.